Gird your loins.
Shit might get weird.
Hey, Stephanie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah, you got a little toasty.
Little toasty. I have a problem with that.
With the sun?
Yeah.
Are you and the sun not friends?
Well, I think we like each other.
Yeah, it's an interesting relationship.
It is. Mm-hmm. I feel like after a certain part of the day that the sun is like, I'm just going to burn your ass just because, you know what? You've been out here for too long. You've worn out your welcome. Uh-huh. Here's a little sunburn.
It sounds like the sun is like those Sour Patch Kid commercials. Where it's yes. like, at 1 minute, it's like really sweet and you guys are buds. And the next minute, it's like really sour.
Sweet and sour.
Yep.
Bitches.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's exactly how it is. So, you know, whatever.
That's okay.
I'm hoping it'll go away.
Yeah. You just use a lot of aloe. You should be okay.
Yeah.
Do you use any sunblock?
Actually, I do.
Oh, okay.
doesn't look like it, does it? I'm a little burnt. It's fine. Especially my face. I even wore a hat today.
Oh.
It might have been the glare from the water.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Because it's just your face. Everywhere else looks like more of like a tan kind of a...
Mm-hmm.
It's just your face. It's a little red.
It's just your face that's the problem, Courtney. It's your face. Can you fix your face?
No, your face is still beautiful. It's just... A tomato. It's just a beautiful tomato.
It'll be brown tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
No worries.
Mm-hmm.
I got this. And there's nothing makeup can't help.
That's the benefit of being a girl. When you get a weird sunburn or like a weird tan line, you just put like a crap ton of foundation on it and it helps
it's
a lot.
Fine.
It just evens it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
That's a good benefit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And how was your weekend?
Oh, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I fractured my finger.
Yeah. So there's that.
So that there's that. On Friday on my way home, I got stuck in my car door.
It got stuck.
It like, oh, and it, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So how did you take notes for the episode today?
Okay, it was really difficult. It was so difficult. So I watched the movie yesterday, which was Saturday. And I'm like, okay, I had my finger figured out with a splint on it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to take notes. Trying to type, like when you know where your fingers go, like your index goes on the J, where they have the little like knob things on there, little, I don't know, you feel that like on the F and the J,
Where
your fingers,
yeah,
and you can just like type. Uh-huh. Okay, that was hard because I couldn't use my index fingers with my fractured one. So I'm trying to like move my right hand to like be in its normal spot, but it kept going to like the J where my index finger should be. Uh-huh. So as I'm reviewing my notes before we record, everything is spelled wrong. Well, most of the stuff is.
Okay.
Well. So, I mean, thankfully, like, autocorrect or whatever fixed a lot of stuff. But there are some words that it was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. There's like red lines, squiggly lines in every word.
Yeah. And there was a couple of words when I went through and I was like, I don't know what word that's supposed to be. So I just deleted it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I watched another movie today for another recording that we're going to do. And I was like, this is fucking impossible because it was taking me forever to write notes because I could type really fast.
Right.
Taking me forever. And I'm like, this movie's already freaking long. I can't do this. So I found the like talk thing on here where you can like do like the dictation on your laptop, which was great because I was just like, whatever to my laptop. But the problem is I had to like pause the movie more because otherwise I was picking up some of the movie.
Yeah.
So it ended up not necessarily being super beneficial. So I did it for some of the movies. Some of the I typed. It was just, it was interesting.
You know what? We got through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did. Struggle's real. It's fine. Whatever. Always struggling over something, you know?
I feel like that's true.
It's kind of our thing.
It's fine. We get through it and we still entertain.
We will make it work. What are we drinking?
Well, I decided to bring over...
A little bougie.
Yeah, it's a Ketel One Botanical Vodka Spritz.
Yeah, with a Z at the end.
Right, to be even more fancy. These things are not cheap. And I don't feel like, other than the can being a really cool texture.
The can is awesome. It's got like...
It's got embossed.
Yeah.
Embossed flowers like, and grapefruit.
It's got like grapefruit and like flowers on like next door. It says Ketel One and it's all textured.
I feel like I need to keep the can.
Even the Ketel One, like words on here are all textured.
Do you hear it?
That's the texture.
Yeah. Can't do that with a regular metal can.
It's a nice looking can.
It's a beautiful can.
Your cans are nice.
Oh, thanks, Steph. Thank you. You've noticed.
They feel great. And they're refreshing. Oh.
I've never had that compliment. But
you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, the flavor's not...
It's not as carbonated as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more like a sparkling water since it says sparkling water on it.
It really tastes...
But it's not. It's not sparkling at all.
It has no sparkle to it.
Where's the bling?
Yeah, other than the can, I'm not impressed. And for the amount of money that... It's probably because we paid for the name Kettle One.
Sure. That's definitely what happened.
And then the beautiful can.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful can.
It's a beautiful can.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad. Like, I don't think...
It doesn't have enough flavor. I can't really taste it.
The flavor of it is better than the canned wines that we have drank. But the canned wines that we've had are 13% alcohol. This is 3.6.
Yeah.
So there's the flavor difference there for sure.
True.
I don't think it tastes bad. It's a little underwhelming, I will say. But it is kind of refreshing, at least.
Do you taste the lovely notes of botanicalness in it?
No.
Oh.
But I taste a little bit of grapefruit.
Well, it does have botanicals and grapefruit.
I don't know what botanicals are supposed to taste like. What is that?
Tastes like a flower.
Right. But I would imagine that all flowers taste the same.
How do you know?
I just would imagine they have their own identities, their own flavors, their own vibes.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I don't know.
I would think so.
I don't know. Very underwhelming. I probably won't be buying these again.
Maybe we should keep the can. We're not going to give up on the canned stuff, though. We will keep going to find the perfect canned beverage.
Well, I'm still working on... What was that one that... day drinking?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got to go find that. That's somewhere around here that we can get it.
Okay.
It's not made here, but I think we can get it at like a gas station.
Like a 7-Eleven, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was somewhere. I don't know.
We'll find it at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was somewhere.
So before we hop in, we've got a couple of things we want to remind you guys of. Obviously, rate, review, subscribe.
Please.
I mean, come on. Broken records here, guys.
Well, and we will continue to be.
Yes. 5 stars.
Yes.
Rate, review, subscribe. It lets people find our show.
Yeah.
I want people to do that.
I want you to.
Yeah. Let people find us. Okay, a couple other things. If you go to buymeacoffee.com/tipsypod, you can buy us a glass of wine for $3.
Yes.
And $3 goes a long way. But $1 of that will go to the Humane Society.
Aww.
Isn't that awesome?
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that we can do that for them.
Puppies and kittens. I know. Me too. So guys, help out the puppies and the kittens.
It's not just about us. It's about them.
Yes, because we care about the puppies and kittens too.
Well, I think we should have a whole room full of them.
Oh my God, that'd be so distracting. I would love it. If there were like little puppies running around here.
Can you imagine?
I would be recording from the floor.
Right.
I'd be laying on the floor with the microphone and I would just...
And you know the cats, they would be jumping up on the table and just like laying across.
You'd be like...
oh, don't worry. It's just one of the keyboard. Cats.
Get down, cat. What are you doing? You're messing up my notes. Get out of here. You're adorable. Don't go too far. Also, if you go to our website, tipsypod.com, we have a rainbow splash design.
Yeah.
It has our Tipsy Pod logo. Mm-hmm. And all the proceeds from that shirt.
Yes.
Go to Outright Action International. And they are an organization that fight for the human rights for LGBTIQ people everywhere, which is incredibly important.
I love that.
Incredibly important.
And so, I'm so glad that we could be a part of it.
I am too. Yeah. I think it's an awesome cause, and I think it's really cool that we can help a cause like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So all the proceeds go there. So check out our website and look for the Rainbow Splash designs.
Get on there. Buy you one or two or 10, whatever.
And while you're buying a Rainbow Splash shirt and donating to Outright Action International, you can also check out some of our other swag.
Yeah.
Because we've got all different designs up there. Mm-hmm. We have empowered women shirts.
I love it.
Let's do it. We got our normal, like, regular Tipsy Pod logos on there, too. You can get shirts, mugs, coasters, whatever you want.
Or a handmade wine glass.
With lots of love. A gigantic, it's like almost like a goblet. It's a stemless wine glass and it's gigantic.
It basically holds a half a bottle of wine. I'm not lying.
It sure does.
I'm not lying.
It sure does.
We've tried it.
So we will help you get drunk with love.
You're welcome.
So check all that out. And also, we are nominated for Best Female Host Yay! Of a Podcast Award.
I love that. That's Yay! So exciting. Yay, us.
So podcast awards, if you go to podcastawards.com, you can also find that on our website too. And it's all in all the links in the descriptions of our episode as well. But the voting starts on July 1st. Yes. So check it out and vote for us for your favorite female hosts.
Yeah.
And then we also qualify for People's Choice. So vote for us for People's Choice and favorite female
hosts. Gosh, I'm so excited. Can you imagine?
I can't wait.
I know.
July 1st.
July 1st. Mark it on your calendars.
Yes. Put on your calendars. Put a whole bunch of notifications. And then vote for us.
Whatever you got to do, do it.
And then also, go to our website, tipsypod.com. And our next season, we are doing like a listener's choice type of a vibe. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole bunch of movies listed on our website. If you go to tipsypod.com/suggest, you can vote for what movies you want us to watch. Yeah. And you can vote for multiple. You don't have to vote for just one.
Right.
You can vote for all of them, five of them, whatever.
And you can put in your own too.
100%.
Absolutely.
And all you do is click all the boxes you want, type in the ones that you want that aren't on the list, and submit it. And then we get the results for it, and then we figure out what we're going to be watching next season.
I'm excited.
We've gotten a whole bunch of people submit suggestions already.
And I love that.
It's very exciting.
We're going to have a really long season next
season. I'm a little bit scared with the lack of control we have over this, but it'll be interesting.
You know what? I need some good scary movies. I need some good scary. But it's been a little lackluster.
These last two seasons have been a little bit high and low, I think.
Yeah. They haven't been consistent.
No.
The first season, we started off pretty strong.
Because it was just kind of like a hodgepodge of just shit. Yeah. Which was great.
Yeah.
But the last two has been interesting themes.
I mean, the next season's going to be a hodgepodge of shit, too.
Which is going to be great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Season four.
Ooh, be prepared.
Gird your loins. Shit might get weird. Okay, should we hop in?
I think we should hop in. Okay.
So we watched Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yes, we did. We watched Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You did not.
Mm-mm.
No.
No. I liked the artistic part of it.
It was fun.
They had some really cool artistic-y things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
The plots.
See, I kind of liked it. I thought it was like, it. As a heads up for anybody, it's on Netflix, so you can watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-hour long movie, so it was a little bit longer than I normally like.
It's 30 minutes more than we do like.
Yes. An hour and a half is really our cap.
Yeah.
So also, keep that in mind or when you're clicking on movies on our website for suggestions for next season. Keep in mind we're like an hour and a half. At most. But it was a little bit long, but I feel like it moved really quickly.
It did.
Because I felt like, the amount of times that we paused for like our note taking and stuff like that, I was like, oh, okay. I'm like 45 minutes in. This is moving. It's fine. I actually liked the movie. I thought it was kind of fun. It had a couple parts that I thought were weird.
Yeah.
One part that I didn't like that was like the creepiest part of the whole thing, but we'll talk about it. But I thought it was kind of fun. It was like easy to watch, whatever.
It was pretty easy. I think my biggest thing or my pet peeve was that there wasn't a whole lot of explanation of these characters. Like we just jumped right in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like all of these characters we were introduced to, but not really introduced to. So I didn't really know who they were.
And they all have like a backstory with each other.
Yeah.
They're all like intertwined somehow.
So you kind of had to sit there and figure that out. And you know what? I want to know right off the bat.
Sure.
Right.
Maybe some on-screen text, too, just to give us like a quick little whatever. But in the beginning, so when we're kind of describing the movie does hop around a bunch.
Yeah.
Because there's a shit ton of characters in it, and they all have all weird backstories and different things going on their own, but they're all like overlapping stories at the same time,
too.
So
they all kind of like work together, or they were in a relationship together, and it was just kind of trying to figure out those dynamics throughout the entire
thing. So it might sound a little bit jumpy, but that's just how the movie is. So we'll try to fill you guys in the best we can.
We're going to try to streamline it as much as possible. Don't really know how that's going to work because our streamlining is not great. Do you remember doing Southbound? Because that was a clusterfuck.
100%. And us hopping around anyway. Oh, boy.
Good luck.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yes.
Okay. A little bit of a warning. The synopsis makes it sound like a comedy, not a thriller. Because, okay, I was on IMDb and I read the synopsis and I said, what the fuck? Because it literally under IMDb classifies it as like horror, mystery, thriller or something like that.
Yeah.
Comedy, nothing is in there. So keep that in mind when I read this because it's not going to make sense. Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it starts off saying a satire, so far starting off weird,
right?
Set in a contemporary art world scene of Los Angeles, where big money artists and mega collectors pay a high price when art collides with commerce. That does not sound like a horror, thriller, mystery
at
all.
That sounds like a business type movie of how to collect art.
Potential comedy in there.
Right.
No. not the case at all.
It was not.
No.
No.
I should have looked up what Google had the synopsis of it was. See, this one sounds scarier.
Okay.
This one's more, like, more accurate, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. After paintings by an unknown artist are discovered, a supernatural force enacts revenge on those who are allowing their greed to get in the way of his art.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's far more accurate.
Yeah.
Even though the whole, like, lots of money art collector thing is accurate, too. That's not really what the movie's about, though.
The IMDb writer for this movie did not get an A plus from us, is what it comes to.
We want to speak to your manager.
Right. You should be fired. Demoted. Immediately.
What if someone who, like, submitted this usually submits for comedies and they're like, oh, a satire.
They're going to have to Google what that means.
Trickery.
Oh, jeez.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So we are at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Uh-huh. And we meet, right off the bat, more...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
We're not doing this right now, are we?
Oh, the entire movie. I got two other actors I'm doing this for. You better brace yourself, girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Before you get too much into it,
yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal is the main character of this movie, which already brought the movie up like 10 pegs.
Oh, yeah.
It already was like, okay.
Okay.
And every movie Jake Gyllenhaal is in, he's fantastic regardless.
Yeah.
His character was great. He was naked a couple times, even better.
He was.
It was a good movie.
It was basically from the waist down. You did not see, but, like, you could see.
You saw his butt once.
Oh, yeah, we did.
When it was nice.
Turned. Yeah. He has a nice upper body.
Yes. Like a nice face.
An 8-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a specimen.
Just a glossy, beautiful specimen. Oh, my God. Okay. So we meet. More.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, can I just say his name just once? Just once, just once. And then you can copy over me the rest of the movie. Everybody wants to know what this character's name is.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's not Jake Gyllenhaal. It's Morph Vandewalt. I can't. You know what? It's been fun, guys. I'm out.
That's a wrap.
Stephanie's going to find her a new podcast host.
I am accepting resumes at the moment.
Oh, my God. It's Morph. Okay. Moving on. Okay. So we meet him.
That's right.
And he gets his badge at the convention. He still has his sunglasses on inside. Uh-huh. He's kind of like a cocky, arrogant guy.
He's a very flamboyant character the entire movie.
It's so dramatic.
And it's like there's a huge line of people waiting to get into this huge art exhibit. And he like blows past them. And
walks right up.
Gets his VIP badge and just like beelines it into the exhibit. Like, get it, Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's like, he's got this dapper, pompous kind of attitude
super
about
arrogant.
Himself.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I like it.
I like it too. Yeah. Damn it.
I know.
No.
So he's talking to somebody about an exhibit that was like so 4 years ago. And it was the robotic.
Yeah.
What was that called? Robo Man or?
It was like a hobo.
Hobo Man. Hobo.
I called him Hobo Robo or Robo Hobo. Just depending on where my notes.
It's some kind of like. Mechanical person.
It's creepy.
It is creepy.
It's creepy as shit. It's supposed to be like this. It's a robot. Yeah. And it's supposed to be like this homeless guy with like trash around him. And he's like on crutches.
Yeah.
And he's wearing like a weird like patriotic suit. But it's supposed to look like it's like torn. And like you can see like his robo parts. Nothing like explicit. But like, you know, shoulder or stuff like that.
Yeah. You can see his neck.
Yeah. And his eyes glow blue.
Oh, it's kind of creepy.
And like Jake Gyllenhaal is looking at it. And the robot is like moving its face, like watching him the whole time. And he's pretty close to the robot. And the robot says like, I can't save you or something.
Something very inappropriate.
And weird.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, do you really want to say that to somebody?
I think the robot is the creepiest part of the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. And he shows back up a little while.
And that part's the creepiest part of the movie when he comes up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But kind of blows past it because he hates the exhibit with the robot.
He's like, it was just so 4 years ago. So now we see a girl named Josefina. Mm-hmm. No name? No.
I don't know her real name.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
you don't know her?
I got other ones for you.
You don't know her in real life?
No, I have her as Josefina or Joe in my notes. So we're good. We're on the same page for that.
Right. Okay. So she's walking up to the convention and she's like carrying like a full hand of 4 or 5 Starbucks coffees. Mm-hmm. And then she receives a call from, I guess, friend or somebody telling her that her boyfriend has been cheating on her.
Yeah, it's a coworker or a friend. Her name is Coco.
Oh, it was Coco. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a receptionist.
Yeah. Works, I guess they work at the same gallery or something.
Yeah.
And she said that she saw Josefina's boyfriend at a bar getting pretty close with another girl last night.
Yeah, he was.
And I was like, girl, timing is not great. No. Like, yes, girl code, tell her.
Right.
100%.
You know what she's doing, though.
Right.
You know where she's at.
Like, she's on her way to this huge art gallery.
Right.
It's like an exhibit that the person that she works for is like going to like buy artwork and like scope out things for.
Right. An important
thing. And
she's
on this huge coffee run and she's about to like walk into this convention center and she gets this news. Girl. Yes. Solid for telling her. But not great timing.
No.
Maybe wait till later.
A little bit.
Let her have some wine first and then tell her.
Or at least a coffee.
Something.
You know, coffee always makes you happy.
Yes.
Right?
Or make you angry if you're already like amped up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That could be bad.
Could have been interesting.
Okay, whatever.
Okay. But she doesn't. So
now we're in the art show.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of get all the behind the scenes drama that's unfolding between all of these characters that are there that we're kind of meeting for the first time, but not meeting yet.
Yes.
We don't know their storylines.
You see like little glimpses of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're all talking and the people that are there looking at everything. So anyway, so we see kind of all of that happening.
Yeah.
And then apparently Morph is the star of the show. His opinion about everything is very valuable.
Yes, he is this like huge art critic.
Yes.
I don't know what he writes for, like if it's like a newspaper or a magazine or whatever, but he writes these reviews that are basically like the gospel to anybody in the art world.
He can bring somebody up or down in that industry.
And like his review are like basing people's decisions on like what they buy for their galleries or what they buy for their houses because they're people with a shit ton of money and stuff like that. So he literally is like God walking around this exhibit because everybody knows him and everybody's watching what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, what is he saying? What is he doing?
Uh-huh.
You know, anyways. Okay, so he walks all over this exhibit and he finds one of the things that is not in the catalog is what he's saying. It's a Minkins and it's called Sphere.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it looks kind of like that bean in Chicago.
Yes.
That like mirrored bean.
It's like a smaller version of that.
Yeah. It's a sphere.
And it's supposed to create unique sensations depending on what hole you decide to put your hand in. Because there's like, I don't know, five or six different holes around this bean.
Around the perimeter of it.
Yeah.
It's this unique sensation depending on each person and whatever hole they decide to explore. Just like life. It uses all sorts of sensors and gizmos. It's about choice, desire, sex, the whole enchilada.
So you stick your hand in there and I guess you get like vibrations or they were talking about like erotica type stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it like whatever you're thinking or something like that, it like kind of
amplifies it.
Something that you're wanting it to be. It's so weird.
Okay.
Weird mirrored ball that you just stick your arm in and I want to do with that.
Well, let me tell you, Morph is all in it. He wants a piece of it.
Fascinated by it.
Wants to know all about it, wants to know how much it is, and he is like enamored by this thing. So now we're done with the exhibit itself. And I feel like we're at an after party of some sort.
Or just like winding down a little bit.
Maybe. And I don't know if it's maybe all of the art critics or the art. I don't know. It's a party and all of these like influential art people are there. And so we meet Redora.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the other main characters in this movie.
Yes.
And she starts talking to an artist. She starts telling him about her punk days and how she was a part of Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah, it was her nickname when she was like in the punk scene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's an artist. Oh, what's his name?
Damrish.
That sounds right.
Okay.
He's an artist that doesn't have much like representation as far as any type of management goes.
He's up and coming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I guess she's got like her whole focus on him and she's trying to get him to like have an exhibit at her art gallery.
Yes.
So she's trying to like woo the fuck out of him, basically. They're outside on the balcony. I have this like gigantic place and they're having shots together and she's trying to like level with him. And he was saying that there's this other guy whose name is John Dondon, who has another art gallery with exhibits that was also trying to get his attention.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yeah, but who's out here doing shots with you?
Right.
And for some reason he was like, oh, that won me over. Okay.
That's all it takes.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. There's like a bunch of bidding wars going on with all of these different artists. So I don't really know what this thing is, but it's like an after party / let's like, what is it
called? Kind of mingle and network.
Yeah. Networking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a network type thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now Morph and Josefina end up leaving together from this show. And then they're in like this hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts telling him how much better shape he is than her ex. that she just found out was cheating on her.
Yeah.
And then he says that he does a lot of Pilates and Peloton.
I do a lot of Pilates and Peloton.
Sure does. It looks great.
I openly laughed when he said that because I was not expecting it. I'm like, Pilates and Peloton? All right, Morph. Let's do it, bud. So, and then they start talking about the time that they got drunk and had sex. Now, mm-hmm. at this point, we kind of know that he is gay. Like, right. That's kind of how my perception was at this point in the movie. So I'm a little confused, but apparently maybe they got drunk together, mm-hmm. they had sex, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're friends. So he said he always remembers her skin and lovingly says that it reminds him of almond and saddle brown.
Again, the perfect blend of it.
Again, what the fuck?
Uh-huh. Well, apparently, because she asked him too if she turns him on, and he says that she makes him confused.
Right.
And then they just get at it. And I'm like, you know what? You do you. Whatever.
Whatever.
Because Jake Gyllenhaal has a boyfriend that he lives with.
Right.
And then I'm like, but if you want to like dip your toes in that like saddle brown river too, then girl.
Almond.
You get
almond
it.
Almond and saddle brown. And
you,
I'm like,
you okay. do your thing.
He's such an artist. That's so cute.
I don't want to be defined.
Right.
What he's saying.
Exactly.
That's fine.
He's whatever. Like, I love who I love. I can't help it. You go get it.
Uh-huh.
All right. So now Redora is talk texting to mm-hmm. someone.
We're back in LA now.
We're back in LA with mm-hmm. Redora. Could we jump a lot again yes. in this movie? And the camera pans to this velvet buzzsaw tattoo that she's got on her back shoulder.
Yeah.
Which
is just like a saw blade. And it says velvet buzzsaw in the middle of the saw blade.
And that's literally the whole scene. Like that was... That we see it. I'm okay. like, okay, all right. So now we see Morph lounging on a chair.
Mm-hmm. And he's naked.
In his house.
Well, that's nice.
He's naked on his computer. His boyfriend comes over. He's mm-hmm. naked too. Mm-hmm.
I think his name is like Ed or Eddie or something like that. Ed.
I think it's Ed. He's in a towel and mm-hmm. tells him that he needs to just join him in the pool. Just start walking.
Great.
It can wait. And then his boyfriend walks away. And then Morph starts flipping through pictures on his computer of mm-hmm. him and Josephine together. Mm-hmm. Or Josefina together. And I said, oh, he is confused.
Uh-huh. Okay. Love triangle.
And he just kind of smiles and that scene kind of ends.
Mm-hmm.
And we see now Josefina walking in her apartment building
mm-hmm.
and she sees this cane laying on the ground as she's walking and she's kind of, I think she's texting too. So she's not really paying attention, but she sees this cane and then she looks up at the couple stories above her mm-hmm. and she sees like this arm like hanging over the railing.
Yeah.
She looks confused, but mm-hmm. then we see her up on that floor and she sees that he's dead.
Yeah. There's like an older man laying on the floor.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
He has some gray hair that we can kind of tell. She like kind of touches him to see if he's alive or not.
Yeah.
And then another neighbor had come out and she kind of looks at him. She's like, you need to call 911.
Yeah.
So he's dead.
Okay. So the next scene is at Hayes Art Gallery, which is Redora's art gallery.
Right.
So the front desk phone is ringing and ringing and ringing. And Redora is like power strutting through the gallery. And she's like, who's supposed to answer the phone? And this creepy ass douchebag guy who's like the handyman at the gallery.
Is that Bryson? I don't know
his name. Sure. I have no idea what his name is.
I think it's Bryson.
I just call him like pervy guy. He's like immediately rats on Josefina. And he's like, oh, Josephine's with there, but she's late again because he's a freaking snake.
Yeah.
And then when she shows up to work, she's like all apologies to Redora because she's like, sorry, this man died in my building. I had to wait for the cops to come. Like she's just trying to like make up for herself.
Right.
Redora wants nothing to do with it. She tells her that she has no more client interactions. She's being taken off the front desk. Mm-hmm. She's like basically put into the back
she has to prove herself.
Yeah. Until she can prove that she can be on time for work and stop being tardy. And Josephine is like trying to explain herself and she's just walks away and goes into a meeting into this big conference room.
Yeah.
And Josephine is like crushed because she's trying to like make it in this art world. And
which is tough.
100%. Yeah. And she's working for this huge art gallery, which is a huge accomplishment, but she's being taken off of any type of like client interaction.
Yes.
Poor girl.
I know. I feel bad for mm-hmm. her. I mean, she kind of gets her own.
Sure.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
I mean, not for long. It's not long lasting for sure.
She's probably going to die. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
100%.
Okay. So that night, Josefina, obviously distraught about the whole day's events, she like starts drinking wine like water.
Yeah, she does.
And then she goes down to check her mail.
Yeah, she's like in her jammies, which are very nice jammies.
They are nice jammies.
My jammies are usually mismatched.
If I'm drinking... if I'm in my pajamas and I'm drinking wine, my ass is not going downstairs to check the mail.
No, because someone can see me. And at that point, like, I'm not wearing a bra. My hair is probably not looking good. My makeup is off.
Right.
My mismatched jammies are not going to look good in the lobby of my apartment building.
But I don't know.
It's weird. I agree. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe she was like trying to snoop a little bit because she runs into
one of her neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. Or someone who is like a maintenance guy at the apartment building because he's taking the name off of the mailbox for the guy
that died
in that apartment that she found. So they kind of like talk kind of casually. The maintenance guy is maybe telling more than she is. But apparently he was just like this older man who like lived by himself. He has no family or friends or any stuff to go to. They don't really know anything about him. It's just like him and his cat.
Yeah.
Because I think she asked him like, well, what happens to his cat? And he's like, I don't know. He's got no family.
We got to figure that out in the next couple of days or so. I'm like, is somebody not going to feed that cat?
Right?
Okay.
I'm like, someone just go and get the damn cat. Like, shit.
Right.
So as she's walking back up to her apartment, she hears like a meowing.
Of course she does.
And she just goes over to that apartment where that older man was.
She just walks right
it's
in.
It's unlocked. Why? Why is it completely unlocked?
I don't know. Maybe because you know that this artwork that we find out soon enough that it has some powers to
sure
it.
Does.
So maybe it unlocked the door for her.
To like welcome her into it?
Exactly.
Weird. So she just walks right into this apartment and it is like holy hoarders.
Yo, I have definitely hoarder of art.
100%. He's got like stacks. I mean, just messy, and she flips a light and there's like a big ass moth in the light in the ceiling.
It's bad.
And there's just artwork everywhere.
Yes.
And she is just immediately obsessed with it. She's walking through the whole apartment and it's like dirty and I don't like it.
Yeah.
But there's like rolls of art thrown into the fireplace. Only like half of it's been destroyed.
Yep.
And she's just walking through different rooms and she sees this like big table with big pieces of artwork on it. She starts to unroll and she goes to like turn on a lamp and then the cat jumps out and made me jump.
Oh my God.
And I
know.
Her jump too. And then she just scoops up the cat and takes it with her.
What? Yeah. And did you see the painting when it like watched her
because
as she was walking around?
On an easel, there was like a man's like portrait.
Yeah.
And their eyes were staring straight ahead when she walked into the building, into the apartment. And then when she goes into the room, like where the cat was, we look back at the portrait and the eyes are like facing
moved.
That direction.
Yes.
Like to the right.
Creepy as shit.
100%.
Creepy as shit. All right. Ugh. Also, the art started like burning again.
Oh yeah, it started to like ignite a little bit. Yeah, in the fireplace.
It didn't start, but you could see kind of like where
the redness
fire
of it. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
like the heat,
like lava. All right, so now the next day Josefina meets Morph after what I presume he was doing Pilates.
Oh yeah, it looked like it. Yeah.
Definitely he had his mat. So I'm assuming Pilates. Because Peloton, he would need probably a piece of equipment or something,
sure.
Right?
And okay. He wouldn't have like a yoga mat with him.
Right, yeah. Right. So they go get coffee together. And then she says that she found something and pulls out an art case to show him with all of this art that she, it's not a lot of it.
No, I just mean, a couple pieces that just fit in his portfolio case
exactly.
Kind of thing.
And then she seems real excited about it and waits for kind of his reaction as he's, you know, thumbing through all of this art.
And they're not really showing us the artwork he's looking at.
No.
We can only see that he's like flipping through it and we can see his reaction.
Yeah.
And he is like obsessed with it.
He is.
Who did these?
What do you think of them?
They're visionary. Mesmeric, an absolute incredible mix of mediums. I'm ensorcelled.
Like starts describing the art as in professional artists speak.
Yes.
Like he has a lot of like big words that I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
I don't, whatever.
All so, I got was revolutionary.
I have ensorcelled because I didn't know what that word meant.
Can you say it again?
Ensorcelled.
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 Did you Google it?
I Googled it.
What does it mean?
Okay. It means to enchant or fascinate.
Oh, hey, that's really accurate for all of the paintings.
Right, yes.
Because with this artist, anybody like in the movie, anybody who looks at it, that's the reaction that anybody has who looks at these paintings.
Yes, they kind of just get entranced into this whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Ensorcelled?
I'm ensorcelled for you.
Girl, stop. Right back at you.
Ooh. I just saw the word. I'm like, I gotta write that shit, and I have it like in bold and capital letters, and I'm like, I gotta
question
Google
mark,
this.
Question mark?
I don't know. It's to
ensorcelled.
Ensorcelled.
Okay,
to
that's
enchant
fun.
Or fascinate.
Oh,
don't you feel unfascinated? So she asked if he thinks that there's a market for this type of art, and he responds with massive. Like that's all he can basically say. And then he asks who represents the artist, and she says that she does.
She's like, me, bitch.
And then he laughs.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
Uh-huh.
You're a receptionist.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So then that scene ends. And then we see Redora. She walks into this house of plastic people.
It's the creepiest exhibit ever.
It is. I didn't even know it was an exhibit. Yeah. I was just wondering. I was like, does she have powers? Did she like freeze all of these people? Ugh. Like, I didn't know what was happening.
It's an exhibit of like a living room kitchen type of thing. It's small.
In the 70s, it looks like.
But there's like three people, like a mom and a dad and a kid sitting on a couch watching TV. And then behind the couch was like a little like kitchenette table with like another kid sitting at it who looks pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like you hear the TV going and you see these people and you're like, are those people plastic? And then you see Redora walk through it and I'm like, oh, what a weird exhibit.
What is that? No.
And then that pervy guy is like fixing lights and stuff behind it. And it's like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well, apparently, this exhibit is what this Darmish guy is portraying. Like, this is kind of his art, and I don't understand his art.
It's okay.
Well, anyways, there's like this big burly guy. Mm-hmm. He's not really burly, but he's a big guy. He busts in, and he like walks right up to Redora, demands that she not show this Darmish artwork in the gallery.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. And so this guy, he gets all pissed off, and she immediately stands up quickly, and she tells him to get the fuck out. Yeah.
Because he starts threatening her.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not taking that shit.
She gets in his face. This guy is big.
Yeah, he's big.
And she tells him to get the fuck out of the studio, all up in his face. And then Coco comes like running from the front desk, like, he got past me. I tried not to let him come in. And she's like, well, you didn't try hard enough. And she basically fires Coco.
She does.
This poor girl. I feel so bad for the entire movie. She deals with some shit.
She hears a lot of stuff, though.
Uh-huh.
She got a lot of juice.
Uh-huh.
So when Josefina gets back to her desk, she sees that the maintenance guy, this Bryson guy, has been in the industry for some time. And he's like rifling through the art portfolio that she was showing Morph.
Yeah.
But it was like under her desk.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
So he went under her desk, took the portfolio, opened it, and started sifting through it like a Snoopy pervy bitch.
That is not your shit.
No. And she gets pissed at him. She's like, it's under my desk. Yeah. What are you doing? And he asks if she showed Redora it. And she's like, why are you looking at it? And he's like, it speaks to me.
Yeah.
Tell me who the artist is.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I do more than maintenance and packing. I'm not just a man of primitive skills. This shit talks to me.
Everybody has that reaction and it's weird.
Yeah. And I think each painting like talks to certain people. It's, that's kind of what I feel like.
Yeah.
So Morph now, he visits Gretchen. So this is another character that
we meet. Who is Toni Collette.
Okay. Gretchen.
Toni Collette.
Okay. So she works at a museum in town.
Yes.
And then he asks if she knows who this artist is, who is it Vetrel
Dees.
Vetrel Dees.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she says no, but he asks her to check anyways.
Yeah, look it up.
Like, to make sure, because he needs to know who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him, they kind of get off that Dees subject, the artist subject, and then she says that she is leaving this museum to be an art advisor. They're both like jumping up and down, basically, all excited. Mm-hmm. He's excited for her. She's excited. And then she kind of pulls him off to the side and she starts telling him that there would be a very valuable, untraceable reward if he could point her in a direction to another artist that was like on their way up.
Mm-hmm. And kind of give her like a before it hits everybody kind of information.
Correct.
Like insider info.
Because he, again, can like bring people up by what he says.
Yeah. But he gets insulted by it.
Which
I don't know if he was kidding or not, but he wasn't.
No, he got pissed.
And he was like, why would you think I did that? And then she's suspicious of, well, how does Redora know then? Which we get to.
Right.
But she's like, well, I thought you had something with Redora worked out because apparently she buys all the shit that he like speaks highly of.
Uh-huh.
And he gets insulted and like storms off.
It's like, that's not how I work.
And she's awkwardly like, okay, kisses. And he leaves.
She didn't really care though.
No.
No.
She's soulless.
All of these people are very vain.
Oh,
like all of these characters are.
They're all using each other.
Of course they are. All right. So Josefina is back at this dead guy's apartment again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
at her apartment.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's at her apartment. She has brought some of his artwork into her apartment.
All of it. Like her entire apartment is full of paintings.
On the walls, on the floor, rolled in a corner.
Uh-huh.
She has like gotten it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's just drinking wine, looking at these art. And then all of a sudden she gets a knock on her door.
Ugh.
And then it's Redora.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So she's there. She invites herself in.
Uh-huh.
And then she sees these paintings and is completely entranced.
100%
with this artist art. And then she tries to coerce her into making a deal with her. She's like,
strong arms her.
Oh yeah.
Because she tells her like, well, if you think you're going to be able to like try to bring these to a different exhibit, you've signed the non-compete with me.
Exactly.
And if you read it, you would know that you couldn't bring information without coming to me with it. So she strong arms her and she's like, I can make us both very rich with this. And she's really kind of have no choice.
No.
She like hands over the pictures in her hand to Rhodora. And I guess now they're trying to figure out how they can bring this shit.
Correct.
As legally as possible into the exhibit.
Correct. So now we meet three lawyers who are like looking at these art pieces, like some of them.
Yeah.
And then you've got these three people like looking at the art, and then you've got Josephina behind them.
Yeah.
And they said, where did you find this art again? Trying to like groom her into knowing what to say, that she did not take the art from this guy's house.
Right.
But found it in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And then she just decided to take it.
Yeah. They're like, no, you found it in a dumpster, right? And she's like, oh, yeah. It was just unmanned in a dumpster. Yeah, 100%.
He's like, great.
Uh-huh. Moving on. We're on the same page now.
The salvage guy said that they were junking everything. I mean, it took hours to carry it all down into my apartment. There was just so much of it.
No, you found the art in the trash, not in his apartment. This is very important. Now, remembering back, you found it in the dumpster. Isn't that what happened?
The dumpster. Yeah, I remember now.
Okay, so now that that's taken care of, all the legality of it, Rhodora and Morph...
So official.
They just need one statement and that's it. So Rhodora and Morph are looking at these paintings at a gallery and talks about the plans for them. Like they're trying to figure out the marketing. They're trying to figure out, you know, how it's going to look.
Sure.
So, and then Morph basically says, I want to have a book deal. Mm-hmm. He wants a couple of the art pieces.
He wants some exclusive rights to be able to like write certain reviews or write certain, you know, books on this artwork and exhibits like solely him.
Yes.
And in turn, he'll like help promote it and give it good reviews to like get people in. And she's like, fuck yeah. Great. That sounds awesome.
Because everybody loves you.
Yeah. Could we just see his reaction of him looking at the paintings again? And he is just obsessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now Rhodora calls this girl who's analyzing the paint that was used in these paintings.
Yeah.
And she says that it's the damnedest thing.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything about it.
She said she just can't place some of the material. It's the damnedest thing.
It's the damnedest thing.
But we don't know. We don't know what's happening yet.
Damnedest thing.
It's the that's it. That was her only description of the paint.
Uh-huh.
The paint that or the material or the medium that
because she takes a little sample from like an open mouth of like one of the paintings.
Uh-huh.
And it's like black, like to be like just out of a mouth. And then when she like rolls away from the desk, we see this dark red liquid come out of the mouth of the painting.
Yeah, it was like it was bleeding.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like these paintings are real.
Uh-huh.
All right. So now the phones are ringing off the hook in this...
Haze gallery.
In the Haze gallery,
So the phones ring off the hook and Coco is trying to, as best she can, transfer these calls. And she's really struggling. So she's like, answer the phone, put people on hold. Answer this phone, put people on hold. Then she picks up a line and she hears Rhodora talking on the phone with a PI.
Yeah.
And she had this guy investigate Dee's to like make sure they're not going to have any weird legal issues of taking this guy's artwork and selling, because she wants to sell it.
So
before she does any of that,
she wants to find out about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he tells her, and what Coco overhears is that he found out that he was in some type of institution and there's really not a lot of record information on this guy for like decades.
Right.
And there was only that piece of information that he could find on him and he has it.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be an issue. And then Coco's like, huh? Like hangs up the phone.
Yeah, she kind of logs all of this information that she hears from all these different people.
100%.
It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Because I couldn't keep it all straight. I'm going to be honest. I would need literally a notepad and write everything down because my ass would forget everything. I'm just saying. Good for you, Coco. Good for you. All right, so Morph has researched extensively on this Dee guy and who he really was.
Mm-hmm.
He has pictures, articles on him. He finds out that he disappeared, I think it was for 3 decades after his 18th birthday, I think is when they figured out, like, anyways.
Yes.
So he shows back up at the Saltel Veterans Administration or something like that, and he works there for 42 years.
Yeah.
So after this, he lived alone and became the artist that he was today because of these internal demons that he had.
Yes. Because Morph also finds out that he had first appeared in 1930.
Yeah.
And this LA census of him living in this like low income family household with his mom, his dad, and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom and his sister died in a fire. And he got taken away from his dad because his dad was abusive. And he got put into this like child home kind of thing until he was
like
18.
An orphanage type thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Until he was 18, and then he kind of just falls off the grid.
Yeah. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Josephina now tells Morph that her ex has an exhibit tomorrow and she wants Morph to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To sabotage,
and
basically.
And trash it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think Morph is on board with this.
No.
But he's going to do it because...
he's just obsessed with her.
He loves her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's while they're hooking up. So they're like passionate. She's like, they're making out. They're about to have sex. And she's like, oh, I need you to go and completely ruin it. And he's like, okay, great. Whatever. Fine. Let's do this. So it was probably not great timing. The conversation happened.
Oh, no.
Great timing.
It was great timing.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Depending on the situation. Get right. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so now we're at the exhibit for Deese, and everybody is interested in all of his paintings.
Yeah.
Pierce is another character now.
John Malkovich.
Okay.
John
Pierce.
Malkovich.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's there and is like engulfed in one of the Deese paintings.
Yes, he's another artist.
So his kind of backstory is he's had a relationship with Redora.
Sure.
I don't know if they were married.
I don't know. I thought it was more of like they used to work together. Like
maybe.
He used to like display his art at her gallery and then they had like a weird
romance or something.
Yeah. Okay. They have sort of a past, but he has decided to go with this other art gallery owner, John Don Don. That's his name. I'm not making it up. John Don Don.
Which I love.
They refer to him as Don Don.
Yeah.
And so when we see John Malkovich kind of pop up every now and then, it's just like he's talking to Don Don. He kind of appears. He's looking at art. He's just kind of there and just kind of shows up. He's not a huge character in this movie.
No, he's not. He's kind of like a cameo type thing.
Yeah. He's basically a struggling artist in a way because he used to be like this huge artist and then he was like a major alcoholic.
Yeah.
And now he's been sober and they're like, yeah, we can tell in his art kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe he shouldn't have quit drinking kind of stuff like that because they're all judgy bitches.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like all the great artists, they had some kind of like, I don't know if it was a mental illness or they
something.
Were like on these medications.
Yeah, because like their paintings are as like their outlet to just like
correct.
Get all that shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Darmish is like sitting on this bench in front of one of the Deese paintings and just like...
just staring at it.
Staring. Like you're not even blinking, just staring at it.
Yeah.
And John Malkovich comes up from like behind him and then he is just like infatuated by this painting as well.
Yeah.
And I think after Darmish is looking at it, he just kind of gets a little discouraged in his own artwork because he just like quickly gets up and just takes off.
And goes.
And John Malkovich starts like walking closer
Pierce.
To this... Malkovich.
Pierce. Okay.
Okay. He starts walking... closer to this painting and he just like reaches out to touch it like slow motion.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a different scene. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
I think it's just maybe showing the draw
that,
of these
like,
paintings.
Everybody in this art world is just blown away.
Yeah.
By these paintings. Do you see what I did there?
You're okay.
Do you see what I did there?
Yeah. These paintings.
Courtney. But like, did you get it?
No, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, I got it. That was funny.
I'm having fun today.
Deese paintings. I mean, it's true. Deese paintings.
Who doesn't love a good play on words, right?
You do.
I love it.
You love a good play on words. Oh, God. Okay. So Redora told Josephina that she is taking half of the Deese paintings and storing them and saving them for a rainy day.
Yeah, because they could only have a certain amount in circulation to kind of create like a buzz and a hype for it.
Correct.
And say they only have X amount to sell, but then, all of a sudden, some will resurface from storage that they can sell again. So they're just trying to create like more money off
like
of these pictures.
Marketing type thing.
Whatever.
Is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now the maintenance guy, he comes back.
Oh, he's so pervy. I hate him.
Bryson.
Gross.
Okay.
I hate him.
He was in charge of storing the art.
Yeah.
So he is instructed to take these boxes to like the storage unit.
Yeah. Apparently he doesn't know what's in the boxes is what we're told later on.
He knows.
He's just got these like obvious crates. Like what would you think when, if you work for an art gallery.
And you know the exhibits that are happening.
Of all these paintings. What do you think is going to be in these like top secret like crates?
Correct.
Because he's got like, I don't know, 6 of them in the back of his pickup.
Yeah. It's a lot. These huge, heavy wood crates.
Yes. So he gets to this storage facility and like gets out of his car and opens one of the crates and sees all the paintings in it and starts kind of sifting through them.
And pulls out a couple.
Yes. And brings them into like the front seat with him and just takes off and doesn't put them in storage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like beelining it out of town. I don't know where he was going.
Well, I don't know.
Because the next time we see him, he's like flying down this dark road. He's like in the desert somewhere.
I was thinking that he was going to be going there, but no, he was already there.
He was at the storage place. He was like trying to get out of town, I guess.
Oh, I guess he was.
Like maybe trying to take the paintings and sell them someplace else.
But if he had, what the fuck was he planning on doing with the rest of them? Because he had his entire truck
Maybe he was going to try to do what Josephina was doing, like represent them and like bring them someplace else and make a fuck ton of money off of them. Okay. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of because where else would he be going with them?
I don't know.
So now he's like flying down this dark road and he's got these paintings on the like bench seat next to him. And it's like the paintings are like more kind of portrait paintings.
Yeah.
And we see the face on one of these portraits like move and look at him.
Yes.
And he lights up a cigarette and one of the like embers from the cigarette comes and lands on him and he becomes like engulfed in flame.
Yeah, he does.
His t-shirt is on fire and he's trying to like rip it off of his body while he's driving.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Why the fuck would you not stop the truck?
I don't know.
Stop the truck.
He is still flying down this road.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
And then we see this like clearly not open vacant gas station down the road. All the lights start turning on in this gas station. Yeah. And he's like struggling. He finally gets their shirt off and he looks in his rearview mirror and sees an old man in the bed of his truck. And he starts freaking out. He loses control of his truck. Uh-huh. He like spins out and he crashes into this gas station. And then everything starts like going on fire. He hops out of the truck and he gets this fire extinguisher and starts putting stuff out so the paintings don't go on fire.
Right.
Okay. This fucking idiot. He makes me so mad. He like busts into this gas station.
Right.
And he finds a sink and he's burnt and he's starting to put water on it. You don't do that. Like if you get a burn while you're cooking, you don't just like put it under cold water. That's like the opposite you're supposed to do. That doesn't soothe the burn. He's like splashing water on himself.
Please tell me how you really feel.
Oh, I think he's a dumb bitch.
The part of this movie that irritated me the most was the fact that, and it was production, as far as like why there was this huge piece of art that was right over the sink.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it had to attack him.
And it had monkeys.
Yeah. So while he's splashing this cold, stupid fucking water on himself... And he's like, ooh, ow. Oh, yeah, you idiot. You're fucking burnt. You're putting cold water on yourself. It's not going to feel good. Whatever. Whatever. Oh, so.
Oh my gosh. You're so angry about this.
There's this painting above this sink that has, I don't know how many monkeys.
I don't know. Like five or six maybe.
Monkeys. And there's like a pickup truck. I don't know. Whatever. But these animals, like these primates start moving.
Oh, yeah.
Like they all turn their heads. Now they're looking at him.
Yeah.
And then we see a profile.
Like a side profile.
Of
yeah.
him. And we see these arms come out and grab him and start attacking him from this painting. I was like, okay. Interesting.
But was this painting a Dee's painting? Because I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either. That didn't make sense for it to be since they were like so hidden and exclusive.
Correct.
Maybe it was just like a weird, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Just
moving on.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, now we meet John.
John.
Right. Right. I just have him as John in my notes.
We like saw him a couple times in galleries. He said a couple of random words. We didn't really like hung out with him until
now. No, we haven't hung out with
him. We don't know a lot about him until now.
No. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure who he is. Like, is he another art advisor?
No, I think he's another Redora because he has an art gallery.
He has his own gallery.
That's what he's trying to get. That's why he got John Malkovich was to like exhibit.
Pierce. Okay.
In his art gallery. Yes.
You're confusing me.
John Malkovich.
Nope. Pierce.
Same person.
Okay. Okay, so this John guy, he visits Pierce and at his studio, his art studio. And it's big, by the way. It's like two or three floors.
It's huge. It's like a big like warehouse.
Yeah.
Like a super industrial space. And on the first floor of it, it's where they make all the prints of his artwork.
Correct.
So it's all these people taking these big ass pictures.
These canvases and everything.
Yeah. And then his actual studio is like upstairs in this huge open space with like a basketball court in it.
I was like, a basketball?
What? Man,
that's weird.
The funniest part of this whole scene is like they get upstairs and start walking and Don Don walks over to these like three bags of like trash bags, like black trash bags, like stacked on each other. And he squats down and he's like,
oh, this is great.
Remarkable. And then
he's like, that's
John
trash.
Malkovich is like, that's not art. And he's almost like, oh, yeah, I knew that.
This is remarkable. It's not art.
And he like hops up quickly and like walks over to the easel. And I'm like,
God,
seriously?
You're an idiot.
Did he think that was like an exhibit in his like big open space?
So it's like he's trying to overdo it with this guy, yeah. with Pierce.
I think he's trying to like make himself look more credible than he is.
I don't know. Whatever. He's a dummy. Uh-huh. Okay. So while Pierce is like playing this basketball, uh-huh. John starts admiring this huge canvas with mm-hmm. art. And it's got three drops of color.
It's like a blue and a red. And a yellow or something. I don't know. Primary colors, whatever. They're like on.
It's like a teardrop.
Yeah. On this giant canvas.
Huge. It was.
And that's it.
That was it. And so Pierce wants his opinion on it. And John said that he's like, he's not talking about that painting specifically, but he's like, he's excited to see what else that he can start selling for him, sure, whatever.
Because he's ready.
He's ready. And Pierce looks at him and John realizes that he has nothing. Like, he's not producing anything.
Who knows how much money he invested in Pierce John Malkovich?
Yeah.
To, like, be at his art exhibit to just find out that he's got nothing new coming out at
no,
all.
No, not at all. Ugh, okay. Yeah.
So that was the end of part one. Go check out part two.
Go. Get out of here.
Okay, what are you waiting for?
Go.
Guys, part two.